on this episode of I'm Your Football Team. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Let's just get right into all week 12 NFL games. And of course, our top five and our bottom most generic five teams in the NFL. So leave your coat and feelings at the door and let's...
I'm me. I'm this podcast. I'm this song. I'm this intro.
Dad, stop. You're embarrassing me.
Really? All right.
I'm you, Dad.
Good call, honey. Great call, actually. Welcome to I'm Your Football Team. Now, newcomers and all, once again, I'm You is just a term to make fun of everything and anything. It's simple terminology that people have caught on to throughout the years, and I'm sure you'll catch on to it easily as well.
Hello, welcome to I'm Your Football Team. I'm your host, Keith Ernst, and let's get right into this. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. I don't know about you, but I want to get this holiday rolling, so let's get into all the Week 12 previews and predictions. Starting with the first game on Thanksgiving, the Bears at the Detroit Lions. You know, I'm the Bears losing to a Lamar-less Ravens. What's funny is all the Bears fans are probably excited, right? They're all flipping out with joy. I'm them looking at the schedule to see, like, after they're supposedly going to win that game against the Ravens, who's next? Like, oh, we got this game now. Lamar's not there. I'm you. You guys choked. And I'm the Lions on Thanksgiving, too. Lions fans outside of Detroit should give thanks on Thanksgiving that they still have this game because they would never see a national televised game if it wasn't for the Thanksgiving game. Oh, in case you're wondering, too, the Lions in the last 20 years on Thanksgiving, I'm this. They're 5-15 on Thanksgiving. Dude, that's like some nasty brown gravy on a turkey that's like not brown gravy. I'm that record. I mean, maybe they should move their annual game to like Halloween because they get murdered every year. But I'll give it to the Lions, okay? The defense, they did come to play against the Browns last week. And once in a while, we all know this team really, really tries. But Tim Boyle. That's right. Tim motherfucking Boyle. Tim Boyle was a goddamn legend on Sunday against the Bears. I mean, listen to these numbers, man. Dude, I am so pissed my Cowboys didn't draft this guy in four quarters of football. This man, this legend, went 15 of 23 for 77 yards and two interceptions. And I'm that. Well, that is just, that's awful. And guess what, people? From what I understand, there's a 50-50 chance he gets the start again. Now, maybe since it is Thursday, as you're listening to this, it might be Goff, but we still don't know. But I don't really know as I'm recording this. But does that really matter against the Bears? I mean, let me rephrase that. Against the Bears' Mack-less defense? Okay, so because that means a lot. They don't have their best defensive player, Kylie Mack. So they couldn't stop Tyler Huntley on the last drive of the game against the Ravens. But it's looking awfully like an Andy Dalton start coming up. He had to come into the game and replace a god-awful Justin Fields. And do you remember in preseason when those dumbass, overweight, out-of-shape Bears fans were chanting for Dalton to be benched and Fields to start? Yeah? Yeah? How'd that work out for you there, huh? Not good. You know, sort of like most of your hearts that won't make it past 55 years old. Go on a diet, Bears fans. I'm you. Please. I mean, seriously, wonder you haven't had a Hall of Fame quarterback since Sid Luckman. Sid Luckman in the 1940s. You know Sid Luckman, part-time quarterback, part-time detective. Yeah, you see, he's walking the beat here on the Chicago streets. These flatfoots over here giving me the business. Need to solve the case of the fine-looking cookie, you know, a broad named Marjorie. She was cutting a rug at old McGillicuddy's, you know, when she may have been in cahoots with this dope. An eager beaver named Charlie Hutton. Played against them before I played for the Bears in college. With old Knute Rockne and the Gipper. Meh. But now, Dalton better get the start. If he does, this is a no-brainer, as the spread has the Lions only getting 3.5 points. I love the Bears here, so. And this is only based on a Dalton start, by the way. So give me the Bears giving 3.5. The at the Dallas Cowboys. Now, the Raiders started out 3-1 before the NFL headhunted on John Gruden. You know, the guy who said some tasteless jokes to one of his closest friends in an email. Something none of us. Oh, I've never done that before. Not me. No, not me. Because we're all so damn perfect in this world, right? I'm you saying that, though. Not me. I would never. All right. I don't know what you're talking about. I would never do anything like that. I'm you. If we went back to week 5, this Cowboys-Raiders game, it kind of looked like it was going to be
like an awesome game between two of the top teams in the NFL. But since Gruden has left, this team has been in a downward spiral on and off the field. They have lost three straight for the first time this season, with this last loss to the Bengals. Here's the thing, man. First 3.5 quarters, the Raiders could not convert a single third down. That's nuts, right? That's 37 minutes and 30 seconds, people, of not converting a third down in the NFL, meaning they couldn't finish drives. Well, I guess Henry Ruggs III isn't the only one who can't finish a drive. Now, it's November, people. A couple of things you can always count on in November. First thing is, the Cowboys and Lions play on Thanksgiving no matter how bad the team suck. In this case, Cowboys are a good team this year. Lions are turkey shit again. Second thing you can count on are libtards trying to guilt you and ruin your Thanksgiving by reminding you that the indigenous people of this country had their land taken and or swindled away from them. Look, we know this, okay? Every country in the world has had blood on their flag. No country is innocent of atrocities. So in other words, just shut the fuck up and enjoy this time with your family and friends, please. Third thing you can always depend on, a November collapse from the Their last three games, they have failed to break 300 yards on offense, which should seem worrisome for Raider fans. Even if they show up in this game against the Cowboys, having that kind of performance three games in a row is concerning. Now the Dallas Cowboys, fresh off a truly disappointing loss for an avid Dallas Cowboy fan like myself. Yes, more disappointing than the Broncos loss. The reason being, the Cowboys were not blindsided by this game. You see, they came in against the Broncos thinking that it was just another game, you know? And they came out flat. In this game, the Cowboys knew it was a playoff-type game slash atmosphere, right? And their offense played its worst game of the season. Defense was stellar and was actually the only bright spot for the boys, but the Cowboys not scoring a touchdown against a Chiefs defense who was averaging almost 30 points a game scored against them is embarrassing. Even Jordan Love got the Packers in the end zone, okay? And I don't want to hear the Cooper and Lamb excuse either. All teams have to deal with COVID and injuries, and the Cowboys fell flat on their face. And how bad was Dak Prescott? Put it this way. He had the highest passer rating percentage coming into that game against the Chiefs in the NFL. He now holds the sixth spot, and I'm that. That's five spots he dropped after that Chiefs game. So, you know, no need to bring up the statistical categories of either of these teams. What you need to look at here is emotions on a short week. That's what I'm looking at. All week, we're going to hear that the Raiders are going to lose, right? Everyone's going to be saying the Raiders are going to lose. I mean, what are they, 8-point underdogs right now? Because what people are going to say are, ooh, look what happened to Atlanta after the Denver game. Raiders can't beat the Cowboys. The Raiders are done. And you know who's going to hear that all week? The Raiders. They've played three terrible games in a row. A team that started out 3-1, let's not forget. I would feel much more comfortable if the Cowboys were playing like Arizona or Green Bay, believe it or not. You know, just a game where they'd be like, oh, it's 50-50. Either team can win, right? But nobody is saying that leading up to this game. Everybody's going to pick the Raiders. That's why, honestly, I like either team in this game. Still no Amari. And not sure if the Cowboys defense can pull off the same kind of intensity from last game. If the Cowboys are not scoring, okay, or maybe just kicking field goals again, the Raiders can wake up and take that momentum away fast. So this is how I feel. I love the Raiders with the points for sure. I can see this game coming down to a last drive. I say whomever has the ball last in a tight game with 2 to 3 minutes left wins this game. And I will say that will be Dak and the Cowboys. If they lose this Thanksgiving game, the Cowboys, that would be the third Thanksgiving game they lost in a row.
The Buffalo Bills at the New Orleans Saints. On the Bills, they're so bad right now. They're so bad that I don't know what's worse. Their recent performances the last 4 weeks or this.
The Bills make me wanna shout. Kick your heels up and shout. Throw your hands up and shout. Throw your head back and shout. Come on now, the Bills are making it happen now.
So come on down to Donnell Motors right now and get a new car where our prices make you wanna shout. I'm your fight song. That's a commercial jingle. That's right. I'm going to call it every single week until you get rid of it. But something is wrong in Buffalo. Seriously. You let Carson Wentz and Jonathan Taylor Thomas from Home Improvement destroy the top-ranked defense in the NFL? So yes, the Bills are 6-4, okay? Here's the crazy part. Here are five of their six wins. The teams go as follow. Dolphins, Washington Football Team, Houston Texans, Miami Dolphins, New York Jets. I'm that, okay? Sounds like I just rattled the bottom five of every power ranking out there. But no, amazing generic fans of mine. That was a list of who the Bills have beaten. And you know, Bills fans are like, oh, wait a second, we beat the Chiefs. Yeah, you beat the Chiefs. You beat them when they weren't even over 500. That's when you beat them, so I'm you. So your team is starting to eat shit and look like the same old Bills. Who make me wanna put your hands on, I'm you. And the Saints too, I'm them. Dude, seriously, the fans might have to pull out those old school vintage Aints brown bags. Do you guys remember those? They were frequently worn by Saints fans in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, okay, when they were horrible. Because it's looking ugly. The Saints offense has been terrible with Simeon at the helm. I mean, it was 33-7 in the fourth quarter when Simeon did his best Blake Bortles impersonation by putting up garbage points at the end to make it interesting. Put it this way, they need Kamar back in this game to make it a game. Sean Payton just lost three games in a row. Now, here's the thing. I'm not sure the last time that happened with him, if it's ever happened with him. I mean, I really don't have a producer to look that up right now or anybody around me except my 7-year-old daughter who's playing Roblox in the other room. But I'm assuming it's been a long time since that happened to Sean Payton. But this game is actually hard. Now, here's the thing. A lot of times I go off my memory of NFL games in the past, which is pretty damn impressive, by the way. And I'm me bragging about that, okay? Because I could have gotten into like neurology as a kid instead of football and been a retired neurosurgeon right now. Instead though, I'm doing a podcast in a corner borrowing my neighbor's internet, and I'm me. But all that being said, I remember when Trevor Siemian played the Bills last. It was right after they upset the Dallas Cowboys in 2017 when he was on the Broncos. And guess what happened to him? He got smashed by Buffalo in that game. Now the Saints are getting 4.5. The Bills still have the number one defense, believe it or not, after getting pummeled by the Colts' rushing attack. And like I said, man, Kamara is huge here. Sean Payton losing four games in a row? Yeah, I think it could happen, but believe me, Mr. Payton will go down swinging in a close game. I'm going to take the Saints getting 4.5. Maybe not winning, but definitely covering.
What's going on, guys? This is Sturch, and I got a question for you. Have you ever dreamt about flipping a house or buying an investment property? I know I have. There's a reason why house flipping is out of reach for most people, and that's because of a lack of information. Flipping Made Easy is for people like you who feel drawn to the world of house flipping, but they don't have a clue as to where to start. Check out flippingmadeeasy.com. Here, you'll find comprehensive and easy to understand information about every stage of the house flipping process. You'll receive access to millions of houses ripe with flipping potential. Hundreds of expert guidance explained through research articles and easy to understand video content. And thousands of vendors for all of your house flipping needs. Subscribe to flippingmadeeasy.com and become part of the flipping community. Right now, if you use the promo code CHOP, you'll receive a free t-shirt and a 30-day, that's right, 30-day money-back guarantee. That's flippingmadeeasy.com.
On to our Sunday games. The Pittsburgh Steelers at the Cincinnati Bengals. The Bengals had one of their most impressive wins this season against the Raiders. Complete domination on both sides of the ball. I'm me, by the way, jumping back on the Bengals bandwagon again. I'm that. But one thing we can all agree on is this is the most promising this team has looked, which has got to be exciting for Bengals fans since the last time they won a playoff game was 5 years before Burroughs was born. Wait, what? Yes, I will say that again. The last time the Cincinnati Bengals won a playoff game was 5 years before Joe Burroughs was born. Okay, so basically Joe Burrow's dad was single, rocking cutoff shirts and listening to 38 Special on his Walkman. And I'm that. That's how long ago. But this team is different. Or at least I thought they were. But they proved me wrong, losing to the hapless Jets and the generic Browns. So they come in and beat a Raiders team that hasn't been themselves. So here they go. Now they're going to play the Steelers, a team they already upset in Pittsburgh earlier this season. And let's not forget, Pittsburgh had the terrible towels. Oh, run, everyone. Come on. Now, Joe Mixon actually looked really good against the Raiders. And everybody needs to know this. The Steelers' defense allows 127 yards per game. So we're going to see a lot of Joe Mixon in this game. The Bengals not only beat the Steelers in Pittsburgh, but also beat them by the largest margin of points the Steelers have had. The Steelers have lost by, which is 14 points. Now, the Steelers have not looked good at all leading up to the Chargers game, where they played their asses off and almost pulled off the win. The Bengals are 2-2 at home, one of those losses being a beatdown by the Browns. So is there really home field advantage here? I don't know, but I expect a great game here regardless. What's crazy is the spread is 4 points. See, Vegas knows, man. That's perfect, actually, because if the Bengals win, it will not be by more than a field goal. That's why I like the Steelers getting 4 points in this game and the Bengals to win. The New York Jets at the Houston Texans. This game here is garbage. And of course it is this week's I'm You Game of the Week. I mean, it might be the I'm You Game of the Season. Decade, century maybe. First off, the Texans were my upset special of the week and lock of the week. I said they would not only cover, but win as well. Scott Hansen from Red Zone actually said it was the biggest upset of the season here on Red Zone that nobody knew would happen. Well, hey there, Mr. 7 hours of commercial-free football starts now. You need to start listening to the I'm Your Football Team podcast. I mean, you have time, right? You only work one fucking day a week. I'm you. I mean, you're amazing on that one day, but you got the time, bro. Come on. But let's talk about the Jets really quick. Joe Flacco Seagulls, okay, did pretty damn good against the Dolphins in his first start of the season. Yes, they lost, but his almost 300-yard performance with two touchdowns and no interceptions was not the reason why. It was the defense of the Jets, who once again played like shit. S-H-I-T, shit. Yes, the 32nd-ranked defense in the NFL. A defense that gives up 450 yards per game, which includes 132 yards rushing a game and 32 points a game. So it doesn't really matter if the Jets have Flacco or hot mom quarterback or Mike White. Mike White. Or if they traded back for Darnold Duck. That defense is going down as one of the worst in Jets history. The Texans, on the other hand, have the 30th ranked defense. But you know what? It didn't look like that against the number one AFC seeded team, the Tennessee Titans. Tyrod Taylor, who is getting his legs back from injury, really didn't put up dominant numbers. But the ones that count are zero turnovers and two rushing touchdowns for T-Mobile. I'm T-Mobile, by the way. I'm that again, too. But he made no mistakes. And here's another thing. Tyrod has his first home start for the first time since week one, when he put up 500 yards of total offense against a decent Jags defense. And now he's going against this putrid Jets defense. Honestly, give me the Texans to win and cover the 3 points they're giving. Oh, and holy shit, I'm not lying here. Let me look. All right. The lowest ticket price for this game, according to ESPN.com, is $10. And on that, you could buy a ticket to this game for $10. I mean, screw a pack of White Claw, which you could buy. That's like a case of Schlitz beer. White Claw is like out of the range. That's like too expensive. So let me see. Let me figure this one out. Which would I rather have? A case of Schlitz beer or see this football game? Same price. You know what? I actually might go with the game because I remember having a pack of Schlitz beer in high school once, and I pretty much threw up all over the Fuddruckers parking lot we were all hanging out in. So I guess I'd rather watch this game and throw up than throw up from drinking Schlitz beer.
When you're out of Schlitz, you're out of beer.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the Indianapolis Colts. Now, the Bucs beat the piss out of the Giants, okay? As I said would happen. Now look, if the media and anti-Brady shitbags didn't question the GOAT, it may not have been that bad. I mean, how bad was it, you may ask? Okay, I'm this. The game was so out of reach that Brady was benched and there was a Blaine Gabbert sighting. Yes, Blaine Gabbert, you remember him. He's the guy who beat out Colin Kaepernick for the starting quarterback job twice in San Francisco. Before Cap decided to take a knee and live the life of a fake activist who compares slavery to the NFL.
Huh?
The Bucs defense shut down the Giants and forced Daniel Jones to throw two interceptions and held them to 215 yards. The Bucs, I think, are the best team in the NFL. And it will be that way until they are held out of the playoffs or beaten in the playoffs. Don't care what their record is. They have a quarterback who knows when to play, okay? So I'm you, and do me a favor. Quit pissing this guy off, please. The Colts, on the other hand, this team is 5-1 in the last six games. That's impressive. Even if the only designated good team, I would say, in those wins were the Bills. But I'm not sure if they're even good anymore. So, but they've been winning because the Colts are averaging 150 yards per game rushing. So this really has nothing to do with Carson Wentz. The Bucs lead the NFL by allowing only 78 yards rushing a game. So this is going to be the best rushing defense the Colts have faced. I say the Bucs take Jonathan Taylor out of the game by stacking the box and try and have Carson Wentz beat him. I mean, that's what I think their game plan is going to be. Now, Colts are known to jump out to leads. And if that doesn't happen here, I'm not sure how the game's going to turn out for them. Looking at the spread here, Colts are getting 2.5. Interesting. Now, this is a trap game for those who don't really watch and study the game, I think. Most people are going to be like, dude, Colts are 5-1, and they just beat the shit out of the mighty Bills. You know, the team with the generic fight song. And now the Colts are home? Dude, Colts are going to win. But not this guy, though. Give me the Bucks winning this game and covering those points. The Atlanta Falcons at the Jacksonville Jaguars. Wait. Is this another OMU game of the week? I think another doubleheader this weekend. We have another OMU game of the week. I'm the Falcons. I'm them scoring 3 points in the last 8 quarters of football they played, okay? That's only 3 points, people, in 2 hours of professional football. Matt Ryan should be knocking bitches out in that locker room. I'm sorry. This was an NFL MVP at one time. Now he's part of the 29th ranked offense that's getting shut out? Here's the thing. He needs a fresh start somewhere. I think both teams do. Matt Ryan should get traded to like a plug-and-play team or just be a backup somewhere for the rest of his career, maybe. All I know is it's over in Atlanta for him. And guess what? I'm the Falcons wasting another career of a quarterback that could have won you a Super Bowl like Michael Vick. Now let's get into the other shitty team, the Jacksonville Jaguars. I mean, they finally caved last Sunday. Because they've been in most of the games this season, right? Mostly because of their defense, but last Sunday was horrible. As the 49ers and the 49ers quarterback with 15 syllables in his last name kicked the shit out of the Jaguars. Jacksonville on offense only had 200 yards, and most of those were in like garbage time. But dude, I have to give credit to the Jags owner though, okay? You know, the guy who drives a magic carpet to work every day? Because he can pop out of his magic genie bottle at any time and wish the Jags to win. But he chooses to do it the honest way. And that's admirable. It really is. So this game here is a pick 'em, huh? So what do I choose here? Do I choose the shitty diaper or the dog shit in a poop bag? Which one should I go with here? You know what? I think I'm going to go with the shitty diaper. Yeah. So try to figure out what team that is when you get a chance. The Carolina Panthers at the Miami Dolphins. Guess what? He's back, everyone. Here he is. He's back. He's back, Panthers fans. He's back to choke on a game-winning drive to be beaten by the quarterback who took his job the last time he was in Carolina. Tyler Heinicke, or Heineken as I call him. And here's the thing. He's not just another quarterback either, Tyler Heinicke, okay? He's an undrafted quarterback from Old Dominion College, and I'm that. Oh, but you know what? It was nice to see Cam Newton score a touchdown and run all the way to the 50-yard line, slam the ball, and do his hacky generic Superman celebration. Oh, by the way, it was in the second quarter. That's probably why he didn't score a touchdown to beat Washington in the end, because he was too occupied during that drive thinking about how he was going to celebrate, right? But he's back, Panthers fans. Here he is. And the Miami Dolphins. I mean, don't look now. They're kind of on a hot streak, right? 3 in a row. The quarterback I constantly support on this show is Tua. And he proved me right in this last game. So here's what's happening with the Dolphins on offense, for those of you that don't know. They are establishing a run, which is opening up the play action. Now, that is where Tua has had most of his completions and success, is at a play action. He's the best off of play action. And now a Panther team comes in with Cam Newton, because if you guys didn't know, he's back. Who I'm sure right now is in a meeting room as we speak with Terrell Owens and Chad Johnson on a Zoom trying to figure out what his next celebration for a touchdown is going to be. But here's the thing. What makes Cam a threat mostly? And what does he love to do? Run the ball. He likes to run the ball. And who did Miami stifle in the same type of offense that's better than the Panthers? The Baltimore Ravens. They can slow down Lamar Jackson. They can slow down Cam Newton. The spread is Miami only getting 1.5. That's because Vegas knows everybody is going to roll with the Panthers. Not me, though. Give me Miami winning this game, or at the very least, getting 1.5 points. The Tennessee Titans at the New England Patriots. Tennessee had an insane winning streak before losing to the lowly Texans, okay? I mean, Tannehill was just terrible against the 30th ranked defense. But hey, look, the weather was horrible. The Titans have been playing fantastic football, so I'm going to be nice and not shit on them, okay? But Tana Dildo still threw 4 picks to one of the worst defenses in the NFL, and I'm him. And I picked the Titans to lose, which I mentioned earlier, stating that their last loss was to the Jets, another shitty team. Okay, listen to this. Listen to the 6 teams the Titans beat in between losing to the shitty Jets and the shitty Texans. They beat the Jaguars 37-19. Okay, that was the first win after the Jets. Okay, they won by 18, whatever. But here are the other ones, ready? They beat the Bills. They beat the Chiefs. They beat the Colts. They beat the Rams. They beat the Saints. All those teams are playoff teams that they beat. Right after they lost to the Jets. And then they lose to the Texans. And on that. So the Titans just sound like a team that show up when they want to show up, right? The Patriots, on the other hand, they are on a 5-game winning streak. They are feeling great, as they should be, because once again, they are one of the best teams in the AFC. God damn it! Why? How does that happen? You just couldn't give NFL fans a season or two to make fun of you. Can you, Bill Belichick? Nah, you gotta get good again. God damn it. Sorry about that. But yeah, so here's the thing, okay? Yeah, Bill Belichick has done it again, right? The Patriots just may be the best team in the AFC, people. And on that, okay? And here's another thing that bothers me. Can their quarterback, Mac Jones, stop smiling? Jesus, in every picture. I mean, on and off the field, the dude is smiling. I mean, is he being offered Robert Kraft's masseuse after the game or something? Seriously, though, I think there's a picture of him getting leveled by like 2D linemen, and he's in midair just smiling in the picture. I'm your face. I mean, it sucks already to see the Patriots winning again. And here Mac Jones is smiling like a 10-year-old Keith Ernst who just found his first Playboy magazine in his grandpa's closet. Just stop. Now, the Patriots are favored by 6.5 points, which is kind of crazy, no? You would think it wouldn't be that much considering that Tennessee is first in the AFC conference right now still. So Tennessee has the 14th ranked defense. The Patriots, though, have the 3rd ranked defense. The Pats and Titans offenses are like right next to each other. Titans average 354 yards a game. The Pats, 352 yards a game. That 350 yards a game for the Titans had a lot to do with Henry for most of the season, right? Derrick Henry. So everything here points to the Patriots winning, right? I mean, Patriots are home. I mean, not only are they both playing for the division, but they're playing for home field advantage. That's on the line too in this game. If the Pats win, guys, they jump the Titans. I mean, it's so hard to go against the Pats in this game. They are on a 5-game winning streak, and 4 of those wins they've won are by a combined score of 148-26. That's insane. I mean, everything points to the Pats, okay? Which is why I'm taking the Titans, getting 6.5 points. All right? I see a good game here because the Titans will not lay down, and they know they need this game. Plus, they were embarrassed last week. And what does old Jack Burton always say? When a team is embarrassed, especially to a bad team, 9 times out of 10, they bounce back the next week. So give me the Titans with the points. Not sure if they're going to win, but give me the Titans with the points. The Philadelphia Eagles at the New York Giants. NFC East battle. I'm that. Seriously, I'm battle. You remember when they actually meant something, though, those games, right? When the NFC East was like, oh, they're playing who? The Eagles and Giants? Oh, man, I can't wait. Now it's like, should I watch this generic NFC East battle or the International Bowling Finals on ESPN2? Actually, it wouldn't even be on ESPN2. It'd probably be on like ESPN 20. But here's the thing. The Eagles, they are right in the damn playoff hunt, okay? Listen to their upcoming schedule, too, on this. I mean, can we just give them the wild card now? At the Giants, at the Jets, Washington home, Giants home, at Washington, and the last game will be the Cowboys in Philly. So let's just say they just lose one of those games, right? They are 10-7 and probably secure a wild card spot at the very least. And you never know. The last game against the Cowboys could be for the division. Cowboys' schedule is a little harder than the Eagles, so we don't know. Now, the Eagles have been winning because of a fantastic rushing attack. And that's something they didn't do in the beginning of the season. And now that Miles Sanders is back, they are finally using him properly. And their defense has been playing well, too. And here's the thing, they have the 13th ranked defense, which has been playing really well of recent. And as far as the Giants go, man, they're in disarray. Especially after that putrid showing against Tampa Bay. They ended up firing the red clapper, Mr. Jason Garrett. And what's weird is I had a Giants fan reach out to me and say, it's just Gettleman placing the blame on Garrett and trying not to get fired, which I thought was interesting. I think it's time this Gettleman guy gets the axe too, no? I mean, the Giants currently have the 23rd ranked offense in the NFL. And here's the thing, man, they suffered through a lot of injuries too. It sounds like Garrett was a scapegoat of somewhat, right? Now, the Giants are getting 3.5 at home. Everybody and their mother is going to pick the Eagles here. But me, I'm taking the Giants with the points. The reason being is, whenever a coach is fired, whether it's a head coach, offensive coordinator, or defensive coordinator. For some reason, the next week, that team shows up. So give me the Giants with the points. Not saying they're going to win, but give me the Giants with the points. The Los Angeles Chargers at the Denver Broncos. Now look, the Chargers bounced back and beat the Steelers after that Vikings loss. The Chargers have not won back-to-back games since early October. And on that. And I'm not sure why the Broncos are only 2.5-point underdogs here. I would think it would be more. I mean, what does Vegas know, right? So let's see if we can figure it out here. One thing I notice off the bat looking at the Chargers is they don't blow any teams out. They seem to be a team who plays to their competitor. So that might be a reason for such a low spread. Now, the Chargers have the 8th-ranked offense. Denver has the 20th-ranked offense. Now, when you look at the defense, though, Denver has the 9th-ranked defense, and Chargers, the 17th-ranked defense. So it kind of like cancels each other out a little. My whole problem here is I don't know if I trust Bridgewater, man. I just, you know, some weeks he looks good, some weeks he looks bad, he looks really bad. And Justin Herbert had arguably one of his best games of the season against the Steelers, okay? 382 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 90 yards rushing. Justin Herbert is a badass. Wait, I don't know if I can do that anymore. I don't know if I can do that. You guys know how much of a badass I think Justin Herbert is. I can't do it anymore, man. I can't say badass and the last name Herbert in the same sentence anymore. I can't. Herbert, I'm his last name. Okay, sounds like he should be fixing computers in Silicon Valley or something. Hey, get Herbert on the phone. He'll figure out this virus. So let's try and come up with another name, can we, please? I mean, Justin is fine. I like the name Justin. Okay, but it's the Herbert name. So let's just keep the H on the last name and try and think of a cool new last name, you know? Let's see. Justin Hardy? No. Justin Hanks? Justin Hanks? No. Tom Hanks is cool. Colin Hanks is a douche. Justin Hip. I like that. Justin Hip, right? Wait. No. Justin Hawk. Yes. Yeah. I love it. Tell me that doesn't sound better. Think about it. Let's try in a sentence, okay? Yo, man, that game by the Chargers was great. Did you see what a badass Justin Hawk is? Yes, I love it. That's great. You got to admit. Come on. That's his new name, guys. So that's what I'm going to call him every time on this show. So people may be lost if you miss an episode or two, but that's on them. So I'm going to predict this game now. Now, it's going to be another close one, obviously, looking at the Chargers season and their games. But since the spread is only 2.5, give me the Chargers covering as Justin Hawk, or as we like to call him, Jayhawk, drives them into field goal range to win the game. Los Angeles Rams at the Green Bay Packers. Man, what a great game against the Packers and Vikings now. If you missed it, it was awesome. That's what football is all about. Now, the bad news for the Packers is Aaron Rodgers is home. And he, for some reason, doesn't play like a fucking maniac when he's at his own home. Because the crowd is on his side. And he's going against the Rams defense, ranked 12th in the NFL. And I'm a little shocked the Rams are not a top 5 defense. But I see them coming to play in this game. And the Rams have the 6th ranked offense. But Matthew Stafford, I'm him. He has looked like a Detroit Lion quarterback the last 2 games now. And I will say this again. He is still a quarterback who has never won a playoff game. One thing about the Packers, though, that many people may not bring up, that I'm going to bring up, Stafford is not afraid of him. He played them twice this season for his entire career. And on that, by the way, he thought he got away from him, and now he has to play him again. But regardless, I think he's going to go in to Green Bay with a better team, right? A team that he's never had before. They are fresh off a bye and well-rested. The Packers lost a heartbreaker, but need this game to stay afloat in a very good NFC conference. And this spread here is a little shocking because there isn't one, right? The Packers are home, and it's a pick 'em. Everybody is taking the Packers. But not me, though. Their last game, they were embarrassed by the 49ers on national TV. And as we all know, what old Jack Burton says. So the Rams come in here and take that W. So give me the Rams here in a pick 'em. The Minnesota Vikings at the San Francisco 49ers. The 49ers have now won 2 in a row. But guess what? The Vikings have now won 2 in a row. Both of these teams seem to be getting better at the right time. Vikings beating the Chargers and Packers, I think, is more impressive than the 49ers beating the Rams and the Jags. Looking at this spread, the 49ers are favored by 2.5, which makes complete sense. I mean, I've said this before, the Vikings do not get blown out. Because here's the thing, they've lost their games by 3 points in overtime. They lost 1 point by 1 point in Arizona, 4 points to the Cowboys, 3 points in overtime to the Ravens. I mean, they don't lose by a lot when they lose. But here's another thing, guys. I'm sorry, I don't mean to get off topic here. I'm that fucking horn that goes off in Minnesota every time somebody does something. Okay, touchdown, sack, first down, somebody takes a shit. But let's see, Minnesota's offense is 7th in the NFL. And they're going against the 49ers, who have the 6th ranked defense in the NFL. That's a pretty good matchup right there. But does it matter, though? The Vikings offense put a whooping on the Packers defense, which was currently ranked 2nd or 3rd, I believe, last week. Here's the crazy thing about the 49ers. They suck at home. They are 1-4 at home. They were 0-4 at home before they beat the Rams. This is a tough game to pick, but I'm going with the Vikings here. They keep it close and pull it off in the end. Cleveland Browns at the Baltimore Ravens. I am so the Browns. Seriously. You guys almost lost to the freaking Lions in a must-win game. Seriously? I'm you. What's funny is I was watching the Lions at Browns game, and I was following the game, and I was like, okay, they're up 7-0. Here comes the blowout. Oh, then they score another touchdown, and then their shitty kicker, of course, misses an extra point because they're the Browns. And you're like, okay, it's 13-0 first half. Final score is definitely going to get worse. But then the Lions score a touchdown and another field goal and are 3 points away from tying the fucking game. And once again, the Browns were home too? I'm sorry, man. This dude Mayfield is officially on notice. He was terrible. 176 yards, 1 touchdown, and 2 interceptions against one of the worst defenses in football. And he does that in a game you need? I'm that, man. That's just awful. Now, the Ravens won without Lamar Jackson, who they will most certainly have back again. Craziest part about this whole scenario is Baltimore is favored by 3.5. You realize that Lamar has not played since that Dolphins game when he was embarrassed on national TV. And now he has the Browns with a quarterback who is straight suspect in Mayfield. And they're home on Sunday night on national TV again? You know where I'm going with this. I'm all over the Ravens here winning and covering the 3.5 points. Now, it's not that I don't have faith in the Browns. I just don't have any faith in Faker Mayfield. Yeah, that's right. I said Faker. He's always faking and blaming injuries for his shitty play. I'm him. Give me the Ravens. The Seattle Seahawks at the Washington football team. I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. This is so damn weird to see the Seahawks currently with the 30th ranked offense and the 31st ranked defense. I'm that. What is this, 1994 all over again? Is Dan McGuire the quarterback for the Seahawks? I mean, Russell Wilson looks terrible. I mean, if they lose this game, they should shut him down for the season. I mean, that's if they have any hopes in keeping him. Because they lose against Washington, who is super hot right now, with wins over the Bucs and the Panthers. Seahawks are pretty much done with 6 weeks left in the season. Because what I saw on Sunday with Colt McCoy just beating up this Seahawk defense was humiliating for a team who has thrived off their defense for so many seasons. And the offense couldn't do jack shit with Russell Wilson. And he gets no help from the run game. And the defense can't keep him in games anymore. So now they're screwed. Washington's offense and defense isn't great. But believe it or not, they are statistically way better than the Seahawks on both sides of the ball. And Washington seems to be hitting a stride with Rivera right now. And here's the disrespect of the whole thing, which is kind of insane. The Washington football team is home. They're on a 2-game win streak. They beat 2 good teams in a row. Well, 1 really good team and 1 average team in the Panthers. They're statistically better than Seattle on offense and defense by quite a few spots, by the way. But they're still 3.5 point underdogs at home. And I'm that. I meant maybe Vegas thinks Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson cannot be bad 3 weeks in a row, which makes sense. But what if they are just a bad team? I know it's been years since we've said that about a Seahawk team, but maybe the time has come to rebuild. Regardless, I'm taking the Redskins here to win and cover with very low confidence, though. Because, like I said, Carroll and Wilson, you really can't, you know, it's really hard to see them losing 3 games in a row. But I am rolling with the Redskins on this one, or the Washington football team. All right, let's get into these power rankings. Here are my top 5 teams in the NFL. Number 5, the Kansas City Chiefs. Look, you gotta give the team credit, okay? But not for Mahomes, for their defense, which completely shut down the number one offense in the NFL. And they've dominated the last several weeks, no matter who they're playing. Give me KC at 5. the Packers. Aaron Rodgers, top 10 defense, could have won the Vikings game easily. They deserve this spot. Number 3, the New England Patriots. Now, I had them in my top 5 last week. See, nobody really wants to admit they're a good team again. As a matter of fact, they're still not in a lot of top 5 power rankings out there. But they are here for me because action speaks louder than words. Give me the Pats as the current best team in the AFC at number 3 here. Number 2, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. When this team wants to play, they play. They still have the greatest quarterback ever to play, they have an above average defense, and they are still the Super Bowl champs with absolutely no hangover. Number 1, the Arizona Cardinals. I'm sorry. What they have been able to do with Colt McCoy is super impressive. Now they get a bye week so Kyler Murray can get more rest. Here's the thing, they may be staying up here the rest of the season at number 1. Now here comes my bottom 5 most generic teams in the NFL, starting with number 32, the Detroit Lions. Now look, impressive showing against the Browns, but I'm not sure if it was the Lions or Mayfield's shitty performance. And they still haven't won a game, so they are my number 32. Number 31, the Jacksonville Jaguars. Their worst game of the season, and it was horrible. So horrible, they jumped the Jets to number 31. Number 30, the New York Jets. They played a good game and are playing for pride. Flacco Seagulls played a decent game. And you know what? That may have pulled them out of the bottom of the basement. So they're pretty good here at 30, I think. Number 29, the Atlanta Falcons. Look, 3 points in 8 quarters. I know they have 4 wins, but so what? This team could easily be defeated, and they are playing like it. They're lucky they're not number 32. Number 28, the Houston Texans. Look, they might be out of the bottom 5 if their defense and Tyrod can keep getting better, so we'll see how it is next week. All right, everybody, that's going to do it for I'm Your Football Team, powered by Chop Sports. Thank you guys so much for subscribing. If you haven't subscribed, please subscribe. Leave a review. Come on, man. I'm you not leaving me a review. Look, enjoy your Thanksgiving. I hope all the games on Thursday are good games, regardless of the outcome, except for the Cowboy game, of course. But that being said, we will see you next Thursday. And if you're not here, I'm you.